The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Race to savings for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support you need with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and race to savings on more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 427. It's the weekend, everyone! Woo! Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah! Yes, sir. All right, and joining me are Mr. Peter Stevenvich and Mr. Stephen Petersvich. You all right, lads?
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Good day.
So, so there we are. It's been a good week in the markets, isn't it?
I've had a fantastic one.
Yeah, well, speak together, guys.
Steve's had a great week in the markets, by the sounds of it.
Mm. Yes, yeah, so Steve.
The fruit and veg market.
Yeah. Steve, you sold your old shell out last week, and I think it's a big mistake you doing that.
Yeah, well, do you know, it's the one time I'm not that disappointed by it. Obviously, I would have made a little bit more money, but, you know, I've still got the majority of my money in roll that shell, so there's still a bit there, which is obviously increasing in value. But, you know, I needed some cash, so, you know, I'm not regretting it at all.
Yeah, well, there was a survey out from the Baker Hughes guys in America and the US, and they say that the rig count is down, guys. The rig count is down to levels we've not seen since 2009. In fact, I saw one stat saying it's as low now on a sort of, output level as 1999. So I think the oil price and the talk of the freeze, you know, the Saudi freeze, Saudi-Russian freeze, you know, the expectations that we understand now in a couple of years' time, there will be a lack of supply. So oil is rising as we speak. And I'm looking at the Royal Dutch Shell chart, and fair play. From that low, it went down. It spiked down to £12.60. And it's basically climbed last few weeks up to, what, £16.85? Which is a nice little climb there, isn't it? Hey! Mm.
How was the sweepstake this week? I haven't heard the result.
Well, the news is it's a septuple rollover.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk how much it is. So we're talking about a ridiculous amount of money now. You know, it's getting... So if one person wins that, it'll ruin their life, you know. It's 200 and, what is it, $47.65, plus next week's Brent crude oil price on top of that. So it's got to be over $35 there, isn't it? So you're talking about 280. Remember 280 up for grabs.
This is the big one.
Did you not get involved last week, Peter?
No, I was, I tactically... went a bit late, and I think I put my a bid in and on Thursday morning, maybe. But by Friday lunchtime, it rallied again, hadn't it? So what was it? 37.
I think it was 37.27. That's right. And someone did have 37.26.
Oh,
so they were 1 cent out from winning the Mushwa.
That's what I was going to put. Actually, is 27. Yeah,
27.
Right. Yeah. So I was 36. 30-something or, yeah, around that.
It's an amazing how much it changes, though. I remember last week, I think it was, I was, or the week before, I was 35-35, and I was the most bullish person there, pretty much. Yes. And now I was at the bottom of the table this week. So that's the fluid nature of oil, isn't it? The market of oil, you know what I'm saying? And all stocks are rallying. But did you hear on Friday's podcast, I had Russell Napier on, and he is the author of the book, Anatomy of the Bear, looking at the big four bottoms of the London, of the American stock market crashes. And and he was, he honestly believes, and also he was a fund manager, and he held held in high esteem, one of the best in South Asia there. And he believes we're in for a biggie, a real biggie of a bear market. And he's talking about 50% on the American markets. And you can see these basically saying stocks in America are overvalued, usually. And he likens it to the crashes, the big four crashes he's looked at. And he says at the same levels now that we were then, they're way overvalued, and he's seeing a big crash happening. So,
weren't people saying that sort of 18 months ago, and we saw a continuation of a rally then, and then obviously in the last 6 months it's sort of come back down. But it's always, I don't know, you can find some person with one opinion and somebody with a complete polar opposite opinion.
But I think that's why I've got a bit of cash, you know. I've been buying a little bit sooner. Who is that?
That's him. That's the author. He's not agreeing with me.
What do you say? But I think it's good to have a bit of cash, you know, just in case. But also what he said, which I agree with, the banks are taking a hiding, you know? And there's something going on here. Like, some of the banks are below where they were in the 2009. You know, everything's going to the hell. The world's imploding. Financial stock crash of 2008, 2007. So, you've got to say, why? Why is that happening? You know, the banks surely aren't less now profitable or have less sort of foresight than they did than in 2007, 2008. But yet they are.
Don't you think that a lot of that is down to them just being an unpopular or less popular stock now because there's uncertainty of how profitable they'll be compared to the good old days because of regulation and all the rest of it? So people are putting their money elsewhere and steering clear of them. I mean, Barclays releasing bad results this week and all the rest of it. Lloyds, I'm happy to say, has sort of weathered that storm and risen since their results and sort of holding steady now because they've got a special dividend and the ex-dividend date's not until next month. So who knows after that, it might go down as well. But don't you think that it's to do with popularity of the stock rather than actually perhaps something sinister going on?
I don't know. If it's just popularity, you know, you get a lot of contrarian investors who say, well, the banks are undervalued here and just keep ploughing in. But they're not, you know. Something's going... I don't know. It may be, maybe not. Is it just sheer unpopularity or is it the fact there's something happening there that shouldn't be happening? You know, they are. There's lots of exposure. But hang on, there's lots of exposure to, like, these energy companies.
Yes.
There is a problem. You talk about bonds as well with the banks. He says they're quite worrying as well. And he mentioned, what else did he mention? Deflation, basically. He said, deflation. The good news about deflation is that normally, he said, bear markets that happened as a result of deflation don't last that long. I mean, a couple of years are out. There have been stock market crashes where bear markets have lasted like almost 10 years. But luckily, he said, if it's a deflation bear market, literally 2 years, and it correct. But it's quite scary. A 50% fall from, the highs. And you're talking about American stock markets, and because it's the biggest economy in the world, then obviously the old saying, when America sneezes, we get snot in our face.
Yes, quite.
Yeah. But Lloyd seems okay. I mean, because it's pretty much a domestic bank, I suppose, isn't it? And they've managed to get rid of all the nasty bits of the bank, I suppose. But I don't fancy it. You know, I actually had a little limit order in for Barclays and Standard Chartered, and I'd take them off, thinking, hang on, I think we're going to see something else here. I do think we're going down the plug hole.
Yes. So you had a what? You had a stop? You had a buy order?
A limit order, to buy Standard Chartered and Barclays. But I'd take them off. I think we have further to go in the banks. And of course, if the banks go down, everything goes down, essentially, because if they're contracting, like you said, if their balance sheets are contracting and their share price is going down, they're less likely to loan more money. So if they loan less money, then yeah. there's less investment. And,
but don't you think also there's a it's not worth tarring them all with the same brush? So, I mean, Standard Chartered and...
Oh, no, use a clean brush. Yeah, always use a clean brush to tar.
Right.
Every bank you come to say, hello, Mr. Tennant, Standard and Chartered. I've just tarred Barclay with this brush. But I'm getting a new brush for you because... Yeah. Right. But the tar is the same.
Yes, I can't afford too many brushes, but we'll have a new one for you. Yeah.
I've got to say, I bought a couple this week. I bought Persimmon Homes.
Wow, what, the whole company?
How many bedrooms?
Yeah, nice. And I just saw a big fall on their ex-dividend date over and above what they pay in the dividend. Because I think they pay about £1.10 or something like that. And it dropped by £2. And I just said, oh, I'll jump in there. It's a good, strong company. Because Pete was down last week. I got a filter. It was three companies, wasn't it, in that filter I looked at, right? And that was Bellway, Berkeley Group and Persimmon. And I thought, I quite like Persimmon there. And they're up in the dividends, special dividends for special people. And I thought, I may get in there, yeah.
Okay. And how have they done since you bought them?
I bought them at £20. And I think they're at about... Let's have a look. PSN is the ticker. PSN. Mm-hmm. I want to get a home builder because I do believe whatever happens with home building, we are not hitting targets on building houses in this country. We need to build about, I think, 200,000 a year. And I think last year we built about half that or 130,000, I think. So it's, you know, it's a problem with homes in this country. So we are in a... And I just think, look at the dip they had. If you look at Persimmon, it finished off at 1992, I think, on Friday. So I'm 8 pence down, but I've also put another order in at £19, so we touch that. So I'm happily scaling in there, you know, on a nice big dividend payer that's in the FTSE 100, part of the 100 big boys.
Well, I remember, 18 months ago, you were well into Bellway, wasn't it? Are you still into Bellway, or you've pulled out?
No, I sold Bellway, and now I'm into Persimmon. Yeah, out of Bellway, into Persimmon. Yeah.
Right.
The house builder's good, I... Go on.
Yeah, this is the thing that I struggle with. We were talking about last week, really, wasn't it? About the whole, what is your strategy? Are you a long-term investor? Are you a bit more of
a while back,
stock,
I said, right.
Fickle in and out of stocks.
Shut up with that fickle in and out of stocks.
I riled him, Steve. We've got him.
If you read my newsletter, which you don't, you will see that I'm trying to, I've got one FTSE 100 company. That's all I've got. That's the Royal Dutch Shell. It's royal, it's Dutch, and it's a shell. Oh, look at the shell. Look at the shell here. It's Dutch, and it's very royal. but, yeah, I've got that. And so I want to get three, right? You know, FTSE 100 companies. And I want to get about three FTSE 350 companies, and then the rest sort of this high-flying penny stocks. You know, I know none of them will probably live up to their reputation of becoming a mid-tier thing, but that when you go for small stocks, that's what we want. You want a blue sky opportunity to sort of almost fulfill its dream. If you get one of those, you're laughing, literally non-stop laughing. Steve, what are you doing?
On the toilet again?
What? No.
It sounds like someone, you know, those old lathes, not lathes, where people make clothes out of the yarns. What are they called? Those big racks they pull the thing about, sew the thing through, then put up and down.
So it was my creaking stairs, it was.
What are you doing? Why are you walking up down the stairs?
I don't like to sit still. I want to keep the blood
moving. He's like doing his exercise, got down the stairs. Just,
he's doing his routine.
Let's have a game here. Pete Pinner. Right, Pete, yes. I want to ask you, do you think Steve is upstairs coming down or downstairs coming up? You've got a 50-50% chance, right?
Almost still on the stairs.
Exactly. That's like stay in the middle, no good anyway. But what I'm saying is, was your movement, Steve, don't say yet, was it going down from the top to the bottom or bottom to top? Now, it's like pretty much betting on the FTSE. You know, one day you can say, and you can bet on the FTSE, you know, any spread betting, and say, we'll look at down today, up today. So what do you reckon, Steve?
I'm pretty certain that he started upstairs midway through the podcast. He was starting to get a little bit bored and was thinking about a frozen kebab that he was going to microwave. So he thought, I know, I'll go downstairs and put that in the microwave. So well, I think he was thinking downstairs.
Yeah, I think Steve was about to get ready to go out DJing. And he was about to leave the front door, but he realised he didn't have his trousers on. So, and he realised this, and his pants, because it was cold outside. Right. And he said, "Oh, that's a bit nippy on the old Todge." And so he nipped back upstairs to put his... So, Steve, were you going down to up or up to down?
Pete, you're on about now, are you? You talking to me or Pete?
Oh my god.
Oh god, Steve.
Steve. Does your mother have to call you and say, right, your name is Steve?
Well, no, because you just called Pete Steve a minute ago.
Yeah, but does it mean I'm flipping? I made a mistake. I'm not flipping your names.
Exactly, so that's what I'm questioning. Are you talking to me or are you talking to Pete?
Well, I'm asking the answer. The only person who knows the answer, if you're going upstairs, I mean, in fact, I don't know if you do know the answer. You probably don't. You probably say, I don't know, actually, I was sat mid-stairs, confused. I thought, was I going up or coming down?
Yeah.
I've always got that confusion. I'm in midway up, I'm thinking, was I going up or coming down or going down or going up? Go then, where were you, down or up?
I was downstairs and I was going up, and I'm now going back downstairs.
Yeah, well, confuse the issue. When we heard the creak, were you going upstairs?
Yes, yeah. I was going upstairs, yeah.
There we are.
One thing I will say, Justin, you should be a politician, because the way you've managed to get the conversation from me questioning why you've sold Bellway and are now going into Persimmon, you've got onto a stare competition with a staring contest, in fact.
No, listen, Steve. I'm overexposed in Royal Dutch Shell. I'm like, I'm just essentially standing there, right, on a beach in Norway somewhere, naked, and a big Royal Dutch Shell oil rig is there, full of, you know, men, hairy. Yeah. All men staring at me from the Royal Dutch Shell rig. That's how exposed I am. So they're saying, look at that fellow over there, he's exposed to us. And so I want to descale a bit at the right time in Royal Dutch Shell and build up a couple more positions in other, you know, FTSE 100 companies. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm busy doing. I'm following a plan, Peter. You know, it's a plan that it does meander a little bit now and again. Yeah.
It's a solid plan that changes every week.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, it's a plan that, no, it's a plan that meanders, like Stephen, not knowing whether he's going upstairs or downstairs for a while. But after a while, I was going upstairs, that's right, I haven't got any trousers on.
So, Stephen, have you got a plan?
In general?
Yeah, life?
Yeah. I'm going to work later.
Okay, cool. What about in stocks and shares?
Further than half an hour ahead. We're thinking, further than half an hour ahead for you, Steve.
Right, okay. You put me on the spot there a little bit, haven't you?
Yep.
We have put you on the spot there a little bit, yes. Go on.
Should we talk about going up and downstairs? Is that easy?
I'm hoping my stocks are going to go up so I can sell them.
Right. this is big stuff. Okay.
That's one of the best plans.
That's pretty highbrow. Talk us through that.
You should have a lot. This is it. Listen, February the 12th, I turned the ripe old age of 45 years of age.
Yeah.
Thanks to the cards, guys. And I'm thinking, now listen, essentially, I work in the radio industry, you know, I do the podcast stuff, but I'm thinking, You need now a couple of good stocks there. You know, I send out my blog saying I want to find the perfect 10, right? And this is essentially three big stocks, three mid-tier, and then four, you know, supercharged, penny, crazy, blue sky stocks, you know? And I'll be more, exposed to the bigger stocks, paying dividends. But I want to play around with. In fact, it's not about numbers essentially. I've worked that out. It's about exposure essentially. So it's percentage exposure. So I can have more penny stocks as long as I'm not as don't put too much into them. But I think it's a bit of fun having that end of the market. But I've been overly exposed to penny stocks a little bit. So I want to just balance it up. I also want to get cash because I do believe we're in for a bit of a rough ride. I still think we're in a bear market here, and I think we're going down. You know, so. I want to get ready because, like Russell said, you have a few opportunities in a lifetime to cash in on a bear to a bull market, and you don't want to be with your trousers down when it starts going down. You want your trousers fully up to the top, pull right up higher than Simon Cowell would put his trousers up.
Right.
And then when the bear market is dying, you take your trousers down.
Right. Okay. And then get arrested, or
then you get your cash out. Get your jewels out.
Keep your cash. All right.
The trousers down, family jewels out. Check your family jewels on the stock market there. And it's all about. It's the old adage, isn't it? Buy the bottom, sell at the top. Simple as that. You know. Right.
So at the moment, back to your, when you're on the beach there with the hairy oil workers looking at you, you're in the process now of putting your trousers on. Are you and getting them right up in the next sort of 6 months or so?
No, yeah. So I'm standing there, trousers are on my ankles. Mm. All these hairy oil workers in the rig look at me. Says a fellow over there,
very exposed.
Starker is very exposed to us.
Right.
And I'm just saying, I'm not going to pull him up until a bit later. A bit later, and then once I see the, I'm in the blue. Once I'm blue, because it's in Norway. Once I'm really in the blue with my stocks, I'll start pulling my trousers up. Yeah, and then but the thing is, look at the stock market at the moment, we're neither up nor down, are we? It's like Steve in the middle of the stairs there, confused. You know, there's no point in putting the house on the market now, because it could go up, it could go down. That's the thing, it's uncertainty. So even though Russell was saying, I did ask him personally, how much are you in cash? He said, I mean, I get a lot of cash, not fully cash, but I think he said a third to half cash, I can't remember what he said. But he said, because if it doesn't go down in the next few months, I don't want to lose money.
No.
But I'm ready to get out, and I'm in a position where I can capitalize on that. So it's the same thing with Steve. Steve's in the middle of the stairs, and we're looking at him, meeting you, thinking, where's he going to go, up or down? Now we can't really tell, But if he has to go one way in one direction, then it could be either direction when he's in the middle. When he's in the bottom of the stairs, it's only one direction you can go.
Yeah,
and that's when you load up and say, I'm betting all my money that Steve will go up the stairs because he has nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I'm at the basement.
Yeah, well, you're assuming, yeah. Well, exactly. In that case, you don't put all your money on, say, put 90%, and then it goes to the basement, you can't go any lower. So I put the rest of the 10% on it now. You can't go anywhere else, apart from stay in the basement for a while.
Yeah.
And
maybe rent out the rest of the house.
Yeah. And him live in a basement, a furnitureless, dark, unheated basement. But I'm making money because I'm renting the house out.
Yeah. And put all that money on penny stocks. No. Yeah. But the interesting thing...
There's a question from the lady with the funny ears and the pug face at the back there called Stephen. Stephen, what's your question? Yes, you, sir, with the unbrushed hair. Yes, you. With the BO. Yes, you.
Oh, Peter. You said
Stephen. No, the one next to you.
Oh, right, that guy. Oh, that one. Right.
Steve, have you got any questions at all? All we ask sometimes for the podcast.
Actually,
so can you come up with one question?
All right.
You got a week's worth of life in between. A week's worth of life in between each podcast. One question. That's all I ask.
Hang on, I've got a question here, and you're not letting me talk.
Go on then.
Jeez.
Is your question, when's the podcast finishing?
I can't actually remember. What's the name of that the stock which is suspended at the moment that we have money in?
Andalas.
That's the one. I think it's a changed name, isn't it? When will they be unsuspended, reunited with our shares?
Well, yeah, that's it. That's a $1 million question, isn't it, really? Who knows? Nobody knows. It's up to them. They're in the process of, getting some assets on board. I assume there's a couple more to come up, because otherwise they've brought one asset on board, but they haven't, refloated. So I assume there's still some more news to come.
What happens with that, though? Because when you we've invested money into it. So can anyone just do that? Just pull themselves off the stock market, and then then you can't get your money back.
Yeah, but no. The reason why is that you can do an RTO, a reverse takeover, essentially. And to do that, you have to release a prospectus and all that. And almost suspend. You have to suspend it because it's what's called price significant information. It's happening there. So to stop people speculating on the inside, they just or people in the know or people close to the company, they just stops. Make it a level playing field for everyone as well. And before they get information out there. So it can't. Thing is, they'd have to redistribute money. I assume to shareholders if they decide to go. They can just say that's it. We got your money. Cheers. Hey, you suckers. See you in hell, suckers. They can't do that. No, so that's criminal. It's stealing money. That's not allowed. So no, it will happen. And the thing is, they are going to Big Gibbs Momentous Events on March 17th, which is a couple of weeks. So I think, there should be some news coming out soonish,
Yeah.
Okay, that was my question.
Very good.
That's all right. Okay. And, the lady with the gammy leg.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Right.
My question was, I totally agree with what you're saying in terms of taking some profit or reducing your exposure, putting your trousers up. But it's very hard to know when or how to do that when you've got for me it's Lloyd's. Yeah, sorry,
am I boring? Excuse me, Stephen.
Yeah, Stephen, show some respect.
If you're going to yawn, please do it away from the mouthpiece, okay?
Yeah, at least turn your microphone off.
Sorry, Steve.
You know, do you ever see on Question Time a man asking a question, the person next to him going,
apologies, Peter.
When you finished, mate.
It was one of those ones where you're not expecting it to make a noise and it slips out.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that from the other end as well.
Yeah, I know. I've completely lost my train.
I did that.
You might have been representative of the listeners, so I might have been boring everyone, so sorry.
I did that tonight. I didn't make a noise. I went to pick up my son from Beavers. It's a little kids group. And I was standing by the door to the hut, and there was no one around. And I was meeting me and Monty, and I tell you what, I did have a lot of wind built up. And there's no one. I just checked there was no one around waiting. I let off a massive guff. And around the corner, this lady stood next to me and stunk. It really stunk. And she went, hello. And also, like, I see her face change a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
As she took on the noxious gas. Mm-hmm. And I pretended I didn't know anything about it. Hiya! God, that's it. And she started talking to her, and I just felt right. So I admit that, I just broke wind there. It couldn't mean anything else, you know?
No. Just start making polite conversation with her and her beaver.
Yeah, so I did the first. So I did the first thing I could do as an honourable man. I turned to Monty and said, "Monty, you disgusting little boy, my son."
And he can't speak. So
yeah, he just looked at me, you know, and flummoxed. Anyway, so off you go again. Sorry, lady with the gammy leg.
Really? Okay. Right. No yawning this time. No, my succinct question is, when you've got a big holding, like you've got with Shell, and for me it's Lloyd's, I've got a few FTSE stocks, FTSE 100 stocks, but Lloyd's...
What have you got, Peter? What have you got?
Well, Royal Dutch Shell, and Lloyd's. BHP Billiton, a small holding.
Oh, you've got those, have you?
Yeah, I've still got them hanging around. But
Where did you buy them at?
I honestly can't remember. I'm about 40% down, so...
But they are rallying now because they've had the result from Samarco, which was a lot less than they thought. I think it's about 1 billion between the two companies. One, they were initially told to put aside 5 billion, and there's going to be an ongoing cost as well. But that seems to have been, you know, a lot lighter of fine than they thought. And it's I think it was the biggest riser on Friday, the FTSE 100s, BHP Billiton. And I'm looking at those, thinking, do you know what? Mm.
Yeah,
I may get back in a little pullback.
Are you completely out of them?
A little pullback, yeah. I'd wait for a little pullback.
Aren't we all? So Lloyd's probably about 20% of my portfolio, and so it's quite a big holding. And since the last results this last week, 10 days ago, it's been doing quite well. So I'm looking at that and going, but I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm saying if there is going to be a bear market, you know, you should kind of protect some of that profit and pull that. Put it into cash, but you know when and how and what sort of level should I be looking at, and at the ex-dividend date next month, or you know what,
yeah, well, no, I was thinking Stephen there took some money out of Royal Dutch Shell, right? Now it's risen since he's sold, but listen, you know, you can always be too early, but listen, would you prefer to be too early than too late? Because I would, exactly. You know,
yeah
I mean, because you know, you can never judge where the top is. But I genuinely think if we're going by, you know, sort of seasonality, we can see a rally here in March, April. You know, a little bit of cut and pullbacks, but a rally, the market will grind higher, hopefully. And then, you know, I think we've got a couple of months of good rallying. And start, you know, I'm not saying sell all, just top slice a little bit, top slice take a bit off, you know. And so that way you won't have the gutted feeling if it does go up further. It doesn't matter, you still got your toe in the water there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
still
I think last week
water.
You were talking about sort of 10-15% or something, or 20% of your holding. Yeah. Is that what you're still looking at? Yeah. Okay.
Yes, because listen, if the stock is up like 20%, you sell 20% worth of stock. Mm. You know, that's the stock you still have. Obviously, is still 20% up. Just got less of it. You know, so
yes,
it's fine. So you've still got blue there in your portfolio. I just think Yeah, you know, we're in a funny time at the moment. There's been so many rumours about China, right? And I think they're not unfounded. They're really not. And we had some bad results from China a few weeks back. And I just genuinely think there's something going on there that we can't explain. We don't know what's going on. The banks are tanking to a certain extent. It's an odd situation. We're in quantitative easing where they're just chucking money at, you know, the stock market. And it's not working. They first said, essentially, inflation was the problem with QE. Now it's not. It's deflation. I think something's going on there. Now, if they can't cure this, you know, deflation with what they're doing, it's not working, you know?
Yeah.
So I think after the financial crash here, we've got, you know, and debt is a lot worse than it was in 2009 and 2008. So I'm just thinking, at the moment, we're not in a... If you look at the American S&P or the Dow Jones on a chart, and you compare it with the FTSE's gone up, down, up, down. Well, the third peak was last April, pretty much the same level, 7,000, you know, right about there.
Yeah.
Come back down. If you look at the American indices, they've gone up, down, up, down, and the third up with this QE has gone like anabolic steroid through the roof. It's way above, you know, it's way up there, super high. And you're thinking, wow. And is the American market, you know, that strong, the economy? Okay, the jobs figures are quite good on Friday, but there's been a lot of raft of, you know, bad news and softening data coming out of there. And I'm just thinking, all you need is we're balancing on an edge here. All you need is a raft of bad news, especially from the Far East. And I think if the Fed now puts up interest rates, that'll be a problem for not only for American business, but for economies based in the Far East there who have US-denominated debt, because that gets more expensive for them. And I think they'd be in big trouble. And they bought on cheap money, and they have to repay on expensive money, especially when they're devaluing their currency. So it's making their currency cheaper, the US dollar more expensive. And I think that, you know, we're a world of debt here that could, you know, really hurt. So I think financially we could be on the edge of the precipice here. And as I said, the one thing Russell says, he doesn't know when this is. There's no time frame for this, really. But he thinks it's going to happen. He's pretty much convinced it's going to happen. And it's hard to call the top of the market. You know, it can last for like 6 months or a year before it even starts to show anything. But he said the volatility are signs of what's, you know, unravelling, essentially.
That's just playing devil's advocate. But that's a really easy thing to say, isn't it, that there's no time frame. Because it's going to happen, but I don't know when. I mean, that's a pretty easy get out, isn't it? Because if it's 12 months, 24 months, 48 months, you know, what are we talking? What is the time frame when this is going to happen? And
nobody knows, but I suppose it teaches you to invest prudently, which is not a bad thing, you know, and cautiously, and not going. Oh, by the way, this is devil's advocate. Where's the devil? He's not here. I'm his advocate. And what do you do? I just argue and stuff. Well, a bit like the devil. Yes, a bit like him, but I'm a bit nicer. But I just argue a little bit.
Yeah, he pays me.
Is the devil coming at all? Depends. If I really rile you, and you can get riled by me, he'll come along and then he'll start riling you as well. Oh, he's a devil like that. He really is.
Yeah.
But, But, you know, I suppose invest prudently, especially, like I said, you know, halfway up, halfway down. We don't know where we are at the moment, you know?
No, exactly. Yeah, but I can see the point of, as you say, top slicing a bit. And the last couple of weeks, but I know we've talked about this. We're going round and round, aren't we, talking about it? But yes, I see the point of that now. And in the coming months, that is perhaps something I will be looking to do on a couple of my stocks.
The thing is, during the week before last, I said I was really bearish. And I still am really bearish, really am. But I got this fear of missing out, where I think the markets could rally for the next 2 months. And so part of me says it's okay. Part of me says, no, it's not okay. We're going to have a mega crash here. A mega crash like we've not seen. And it's essentially, you know, 2009...
You're bipolar, basically,
aren't you? You know, 2007, 2008 crash there. That is, you know, that is a kid's party, you know. Are we going to see a proper full-on adult party here with people having super overly drunk, out cold on the floor? You know, the one we saw in 2000 now is a bit of a mess left by, you know, after... That's what you're looking at, essentially. You know, when you have a four-year-old kid's party, I just had my six-year-old kid's party recently.
Right.
Not for myself, for my son.
Right.
That'd be very odd, me having a six-year-old kid's party. Come on round,
all...
Yeah. But, you know, afterwards, all you had was a couple of burst balloons, a bit of food on the floor, you know, little bits and pieces. Now, you go to see a party after Glastonbury's gone. That's a mess, yeah. That's what it'll be like, I believe, compared to the kids' party we had in 2009.
Right. Do you think sometimes you should probably just park the analogies?
No. Because well, I honestly think if it tips over now, having okay. trying to financial what I'm saying is this, right?
Mm. It's I like, don't know what you think.
Right, that's another analogy, okay?
Right. Okay, please.
We got like a 60-year-old fella here, 65-year-old fella. He's had a major heart attack, right? He's recovered. He's fine.
We've You're doing a him. Podcast? Go and help him. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we pumped him with drugs and stuff. Looks like right. he's fine, you know, but he's on the road to recovery. Now, right. the next heart attack he has, 5 years on the line, do you think it's be better or worse than the last one?
Right, I don't know.
Do you
know.
I think I got the kids' party analogy bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to go on to that.
Yeah. Well, you imagine now the guy
yeah.
with a heart attack had that original heart attack at the kids' right. party, right? The
but
second
is
heart
that party
attack
on the beach next to you, and your trousers are down around your ankles.
No. Don't mix that analogy up with the kids' party one. But no, the guy who has a heart attack, he had it the 4-year-old, 6-year-old's kids' party. Now he goes to the big party, and then he really has a heart attack because he's drinking, he's doing pills, and he's doing crazy, and he thinks he's right. like 16 again. He's not. He's not 16 again. He's had a major right. heart attack, you know, 6 years ago. He can't do this.
Is the party right. upstairs or downstairs?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't. Well, you know, it was upstairs, but he's fallen all the way downstairs. And he's not in a heart attack. He's fallen down the stairs and everything.
And were the hairy oil workers at it or not? They weren't at the party.
I don't know if they were there or not. I don't know if they were invited.
Right.
I have no idea.
Okay. Right. Good.
So that's all I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it can happen. You know,
it could happen.
And do you know what? Why shouldn't it happen after a 6-year bull run when the bull run has been fueled by fake money? Essentially, why shouldn't it happen, you know? Yeah, and when the second biggest economy in the world, which helped us out of the first bear market, is now stalling. And yet,
yes.
it seems like the plaster, the fix we made for last, and the little plaster we put over the big gash, the gash is now ripped apart further, and the plaster's
right.
flung off.
Right, yes.
Here we are.
On that note.
So all I'm saying is invest wisely, guys, you know? Having said that, I bought about 4 stocks this week.
Sell.
I won't sell now. No, I believe it. Listen, 2 months right. in a stock market is a long time, especially in a bull market, you know? Especially in a bear market. It can be anything. You can double, triple your money. You can do, like, 80 energy. You can do 600% in a couple of weeks, you know? So there we are.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So well, I've got my,
do your own
I've
research, everybody.
I've got my eye on the horizon, which I believe okay. is summertime. But yeah. until then, I'll run towards the sun.
Right.
The edge of the earth may be there, but I'm going to run towards the sun because that's where okay. it gets warmer. You know what I'm saying? I'm stuck in a world of analogies. Please, get me out. I'm drowning.
Steve's stuck halfway up the stairs. Right, I'm leaving you. Okay. Enjoy it, guys. Well done.
Yeah. Guys, have a mm-hmm. nice weekend. I don't know if it made any sense. Listen, I'm very tired.
Overtired.
Mm. All right.
Go to bed.
Okay.
Muchos apreciados, guys, yeah?
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Say that.
Bye-bye.
Say muchos apreciados, Steve.
Hmm?
Bye-bye.
Oh, kills me.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.